Welcome to the Hackberry House of Chosun. My name is Bob, and I'm reading today from the special edition of the Voice of the Martyrs magazine. It comes out yearly. They put a special issue out to give you a general idea of what they do there. And for the next foreseeable Saturdays, I'm going to share with you from that magazine 21st century examples of mistreatment of God's people from the current literature. You know, there's a lot of great stories from the past. I'm sharing those other times during the week. But on Saturdays, I'll try to keep you up to date about what's going on even now. This is not to make you angry or to cause you to go out and protest or whatever, but to encourage you to pray. And if you'd like to follow up and somehow be a blessing to the persecuted, just contact the folks at VOM. That's thevoice@vom.org. Well, today, let's talk about the reluctant Bible smuggler. Each time a new customer walked through the door of the small coffee shop in South Korea, where Min Jae shared his story with VOM workers, he hesitated or stopped talking completely. The middle-aged North Korean studied each person's face anxiously, searching for clues to his or her intent. Min Jae knew from experience that he could never be too careful, even outside of North Korea. Spies often cross the border into South Korea to find defectors and report their names to the North Korean government, which then punishes their relatives still living in the country. In North Korea, no one trusts each other, said Min Jae, who even suspected his wife of being a spy. We have to be very cautious about how we think and always careful with our words. I still have that kind of tendency. I get a little nervous looking back and forth. With the coffee grinder providing background noise, Min Jae gradually grew more comfortable sharing the story of how he became a Bible smuggler in the most restricted nation on earth. Min Jae became a believer during a lengthy business trip to China in 2004. While there, he had visited a friend's church and fallen in love with the Bible and all of its weird stories. 5 months later, after being baptized, receiving his own small Korean Bible, and growing in his understanding of the scriptures, Min Jae had to return to North Korea. But as he prepared to leave China, someone from the church made a bold request. Would he accept a shipment that included 10 hidden Bibles once he returned to North Korea? At first, he declined. He was already nervous about bringing his own small Bible into the country. If border guards caught him with even a few pages, he could be tortured or killed. And Min Jae knew that receiving the shipment of Bibles could result in his imprisonment in one of North Korea's notorious concentration camps. As he agonized over the decision, he remembered that he had given his life to Christ. It was no longer his own. He decided to trust his Lord. Now I believe in God, and in God everything is possible, he thought. I can do anything he wants. Even if it looks difficult, maybe God will just do his work. The shipment arrived a few months after Min Jae's return to North Korea. At 1 a.m. on a morning in November 2005, he approached a boat along the bank of the Yalu River, praying for God's protection and guidance with every step. After retrieving three large vinyl duffel bags, he hoisted them onto his back and ran toward his home in the dark. Once inside the relative safety of his home, he opened the bags to find them tightly packed with pants. But wrapped randomly within the clothing were 10 small Korean Bibles. I was afraid and nervous, he said. Receiving them was fine, but when I actually opened the bags, I began to wonder, how can I distribute these at this time? I began to have doubts. Min Jae decided to keep the dangerous books hidden until God led him to the right people. And then, as he walked through his village one day in February 2006, he heard a man whistling a Christian hymn. He had learned the tune, "The Trusting Heart to Jesus Clings," during his time in China. Minjie made note of where the man lived and decided to deliver some Bibles to him that night, under cover of darkness. After midnight, Minjie rewrapped 8 of the 10 Bibles in the pants and left them at the man's front door. Months later, Minjie returned to China with the intent of defecting. But in November 2006, he was arrested and extradited to North Korea. In prison, he met a former friend who had been arrested because of his Christian faith, and as they talked, Minjie came to realize that the man he gave the Bibles to was his friend's uncle. That man also had been arrested and was being held in a different cell in the same prison. Minjie's friend told him that his uncle had given the 8 Bibles to relatives who had then committed their lives to Christ. The entire family of 27 people began to gather secretly at night to worship God and to read and discuss the scriptures. But one night a neighbor overheard the believers singing hymns and reported them to authorities. The secret police raided their home and arrested everyone. Although he wasn't able to interact with them in prison, Minjie often heard some of the family members praying in their cells. He never told his friend that he was the one who had left the 8 Bibles on his uncle's doorstep. It was still too risky for anyone to know. A month later, all 27 family members, including Minjie's friend and his friend's uncle, were sent to a concentration camp. Minjie was released after 7 months in prison, and in 2014, he successfully defected to South Korea. He remains concerned, even feeling a bit guilty, about the Christian family suffering in a concentration camp. After all, he supplied the Bibles that helped lead to their imprisonment. Still, he knows that God ultimately provided the Bibles, and that he is with them as they suffer in his name. I believe that these 27 people are children of God, and that God will somehow release them miraculously, Minjie said. VOM has provided some support to Minjie. Today he serves in a variety of ways at his church and participates in a one-on-one discipleship program. He continues to pray for a job that will enable him to support himself and asks Christians in the United States to pray that more North Koreans will learn of God's love for them. "I just want for North Korean people to hear the gospel and share the gospel," he said. "That is my only prayer." At the conclusion of his conversation with VOM workers in the South Korean coffee shop, Minjie pulled out the hand-sized Bible he received in China when he first came to know Christ. The outside looks like a notebook, but its pages contain God's word in a near microscopic font. He had hidden the Bible from everyone, including his wife, and it had sustained him when he was a lonely Christian, fearful of his work as a Bible smuggler. Like the family of 27 believers, imprisoned for their faith, and countless others secretly following Jesus inside North Korea, Minjie depended on God's word too. North Korea, you'll notice that I call this site and have from the beginning the Hackberry House of Chosun. Chosun is the old name for Korea. My first love in terms of persecuted Christians is the North Korean people, but I've expanded that love to include all those that are persecuted for their faith, and you will hear about them on Hackberry House for a while. I've neglected that for quite some time, doing a lot of Bible studies and Spurgeon sermons and things like that, and I'm glad I did all of that. But I want to go make up for some lost time now with the persecuted people. They still and always will need our prayers. Thank you so much for being with us. And this is the Hackberry House of Chosun. Lord willing, we'll talk again real soon. Bye-bye.